Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we'll start off by talking about what everyone did over the break and some other fascinating dialogue as well. We'll get to that first.
Back inside the toolbox for the first time this year. I know I'm not alone when I say I almost forgot to come to work today. Hope you had good and plenty of 2020. Let's hope 21 ain't a son of a gun. But I got stacks of tracks I found in the back. I'm throwing this one out to all my fellow pretenders. We got this, folks. We can fake it till we make it. And even wake and bake it. We're back to the grind with Chrissy Hynde. Happy New Year on the Toolbox.
I found a picture of you. Hijacked my world at night to a place in the past we've been cast out of. Oh, now we're back in the fight.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, Mike Lynch had 2 weeks to write a really great intro joke. He failed. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. And welcome to 2021, everybody. Not a day too soon. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day and good year to you.
And Bald Brian. Lots of thoughts. So we start off with a little drama, Dr. Drew and the COVID.
Oh.
You guys have probably heard about that.
A lot of people on Twitter accusing us of keeping it quiet for 2 weeks.
Running best ofs.
Yeah, that's right. Go great lengths. I'll talk about it.
I saw him on Christmas Eve. So, and then he later on that evening came down with it or started showing symptoms. So, I saw.
Does that give you pause? Does that make you think about your, I don't know, mortality? Mortality is a stupid thing, but does that give you a little bit of a, oh, shit?
No, never thought about it.
Which is this is the guy who's been eating dirt and drinking ice water out of a cooler.
I know, but it's the plague of our time, and it's the same day.
Well, Drew has a unique wiring, and something that he said several months ago that we talked about, but I think people really need to understand it, which is when Trump got his physical. And his doctor was like, he's in tip-top shape. And everyone's like, get out of here. Look at the guy. He's 70 pounds overweight. No way. You know what I mean? He eats fast food. Look at him. Drew made the distinction of saying there's a difference between being in shape, like being fit, right, and then being healthy. Trump is not fit, but he's healthy. Drew is very fit, but he has a lot of shit going on with him. He has conditions. You know what I mean?
I'm more in the Trump camp.
I like to dabble in both.
Yeah. I commit.
I like to dip one foot in each one of those unhealthy waiting pools. So, Drew, and again, you wouldn't know it if you saw him walking around the beach in his board shorts, but
no,
Drew has stuff going on. And when Drew gets hit with these viruses, they hit him hard. One thing I've known about the guy the whole time I've known him is this shit hits him. Like, it fucks him up more than it would fuck up your average person, or certainly what you think of when you think of Drew. So I kind of knew that going in. So he became symptomatic in, like, the middle of the night, literally Christmas Day. Like 3:30, 4 in the morning, you know, woke up, knew something was off, like knew something was going on with him. There's a picture of Drew convalescing with a bottle of his own urine.
That's what it looks like.
Yes. Dr. Zelenko told him zinc and hydrochloroquine and drink your own urine. And Drew is fastidious.
A good student.
Right. It looks like Susan may have been drinking it as well.
They were hydrating. Anyway, so then he wakes up the next day and he's like, I have COVID. And I said, he sent me a text. I said, well, how do you know? And he said, I know. I've got this. And I said, all right. And then he got tested and it was negative. And then he got tested again and it was negative, I think the following day. I and the family were slated to go to Mark Garagus's house on Christmas Day evening. Mark was doing testing for everyone who came to the party.
Wow.
So everyone, there was like...
Does he have rapid tests, like sort of instant result kind of thing?
That's a three-dayer, but he brings the drinks out to the driveway and time passes quickly.
Okay, their canvas tents, it's really pretty.
The architecture is so beautiful, this place. You really get lost in it sometimes.
Time flies.
That's right. Yeah, he had a couple of nurses, and they did the rapid testing, and it took about 8 minutes, I believe. They logged everyone in and, you know, had them on a tablet and got everyone checked. And everybody in my family and everyone in the party, everyone passed and everyone went into the party. And then Drew, he tested negative for like 2 or 3 days. So then I tested and I tested negative too. So I thought, all right, well, I feel fine.
And you know what? That's where the Jews really do have one over on the rest of you, because Drew can test negative as many times as he wants, but he knows he's sick and he will keep taking that test until it agrees with him.
That's right.
And he just kept getting more symptomatic and he was on all the protocols and did all the stuff and got the infusions and he was doing everything. And he said it was helping, but it was still kicking his ass. And I talked to him every day. He seemed, you know, he was as good as could be expected. And then maybe on the third day, he tested positive, which he was really happy about.
He was elated
because he's like, there's no fucking way I'm going through all this shit and not having immunity.
Well, and that was the other thing he said on his I watched a couple of his Instagram lives, and I don't remember the specific kind, but he mentioned something to the effect of if it wasn't COVID, it was a very serious form of leukemia. Those are the only two things that could have explained his symptoms.
Yeah, he posted something hoping for COVID. And people were like, what do you mean hoping? He's like, well, the alternative is not good.
And even if the alternative is the flu, you still went through all this shit and now you have no immunity.
Right.
So he wanted it and he got his wish. So he got it. And now it's interesting because his wife, who sleeps in the same bed as he and was sleeping in the same bed, you know, while he was becoming symptomatic and waking up in the middle of the night on Christmas Day and all that, doesn't have anything. It completely missed her.
But his son got it, right? From like passing the food tray in the morning. I mean, this is just what he said on the Instagram Live. But he's fine. I don't know if it's Jordan or Douglas.
I didn't talk to him about that. He seemed to say that everyone in the house was tested and checked out. But again, you can get tested on, you know, he got tested on a Friday, and then he got tested on a Saturday, and then he tested positive on a Sunday or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the whole thing about the whole testing thing is it's great, but if you're not producing enough viral load to have a positive test, then you get tested with symptoms. With symptoms, he gets tested. He gets tested again. Nothing, and then something. So it's not, you know, the whole testing thing is not exactly a science. Well, it is a science, but it doesn't mean that much.
Right. It's not Bible. It's not law.
Well, theoretically, everyone who went to Mark's party could have tested negative and then had it 2 days later. And had it while they were testing negative. Anyway, so I was talking to him every day. He was kind of telling me what it was, what he was feeling, I was going through. You know, he was saying that if this hit, you know, he could see why this kicks the shit out of an 85-year-old. You know what I mean? Like this. And and doesn't do that much to a 24-year-old. And then I started thinking, you know, nature, all it does, really, whether it's a virus or a pack of hyenas, it just wants the old and the sick to kind of fall a little behind, and then it's just going to come pick them off. That's just what nature does. It just kind of
natural selection.
Darwinism.
Yeah, it just picks you off. The healthy young gazelles stay up front. They don't have any problem. The weaker ones start to fall behind. The sicker ones fall behind, and they get picked off. And struck me that the virus isn't really much different than a pack of hyenas or any other animals out in the Serengeti. They're like praying. They just find whoever's weak, who's ever injured, whoever's lame, whoever's whatever, and whoever's old and can't keep up, and they just come up and they pick you off. So Drew had a bunch of, like I said, stuff hits him hard. That's just the way he is. Well, many years ago, I've told you guys the story, but we had the exact same hernia procedure. He told me I was going to be on my back for 2 weeks. I told him I wouldn't. I'd see him at work. I got the procedure Friday night a million years ago, and I told him I'd see him Sunday night for Loveline. And he's like, no way, you're not coming in here. And I said, I think I'll be fine. And he said, I had the exact same procedure done that you're going to have done in the same hospital with the same doctor. And
same scalpel,
still has same plasma fresh. And he said, no, you're not coming in. I had it Friday night, the hernia surgery. I woke up Saturday morning, hung doors at my new house. I felt completely and utterly fine and unscathed, 100%. So Drew gets hit by this stuff pretty hard. I spoke to him a little earlier today. Says he's coming out the other side, but still not himself. So that is Drew and the COVID. And it's funny that after all this time of him talking about it, he gets it on Christmas Day.
That sucks.
And it just went and it's just going to run all the way through his vacation.
Anything that would have been a vacation.
It'll go right on through, and then he'll just probably come out the other side. About time to go back to work.
Can we count on hearing from Drew on this show? I'd love to. Great get, obviously.
I was gonna hit him up. Man, Max Pata, you can hit him up. I was gonna hit him up, and I thought, I don't know, leave him alone. But on the other hand,
he's doing an Instagram video.
He's a ham.
See if he's
up and wants to just check in.
Ooh, and here's to sweeten the deal. We can use my favorite phrase in the world, Dr. Drew breaking his silence.
That's right. It's also fun to read all the tweets that are glad he got it, like from David Alan Greer and other dear, dear friends like that. Yeah, he was talking shit about Drew. I mean, on Twitter.
Once he'd recovered.
Yeah. Well, Dak posted an Instagram post of the headline of Drew getting COVID, and his caption was like, clown of the year.
Yeah, that's nice. What a dickhead, by the way. Drew's always so good to Dag. It's so insane that Dag's has like Trump derangement syndrome, and he's also nuts, but it's sad. It's sad that people do that. But either way, then I would read some tweets and they're like, this is what you get bragging about going out to eat. And I'm like, Drew probably either got it from eating outside or from working at a fucking hospital.
It's 50-50.
It's
50-50.
You'll never know whether we got it out in the parking lot at the Parkway Grill in Pasadena or he got it from being in a COVID-infested roach motel known as the hospital he was having to go in and out of. He just missed his vaccine thing, got all fucked up.
Oh, that's
yeah,
sucks.
What happened with that? He just, said there was like some major snafu.
He just got jobbed on it. Like he had a date and he went in and they didn't have the paperwork and then they wanted him to come back. And it was just, he's convinced he got it from going to go get the fucking vaccine at the hospital and having to walk all through the hospital and go upstairs and talk to this guy and come back down and talk to that guy. But again,
oh, sweet irony.
Could have got it from eating outside. You never know. So that was the saga of Drew and the saga of his COVID. And we'll see if he's up and wants to check in with us. on a happy note, somebody tweeted me that Uppity made Mashables. I think it's Mashable, right?
Yeah, Mashables, 20 best documentaries on Netflix.
Yeah, well, that's right. Good. Yeah,
I read the whole list. It is a very diverse, and by diverse, I mean ethically, sexual orientation, and there's you.
Yeah, and then there's me. I know.
I have some of the other docs that are on that list.
There you go.
Yeah, we made it to number 8. Yeah,
The Last Dance, number 7.
Love that series.
20 Feet from Stardom, the Academy Award winner.
It's weird because that thing's been out for like 7 years or something now, I feel like. At least.
Yeah, I feel like there's another wave.
Miss Americana, the Taylor Swift doc at number 12. Mm-hmm. Athlete A, that Larry Nassar story, that's number 15. Blackfish at number 19.
That's been around for a while,
yeah,
too.
So these, yeah, these are, but they're still the best documentaries on Netflix of all. This looks like of all time.
Of all time.
Netflix doesn't exactly just have 20 documentaries.
Right.
Netflix and there's some pretty obscure ones. Pretty obscure ones out there, too, that are very, wave the torch for social justice.
Yeah, that's where they start off. So we made number 8. That's a good thing. And then, terms of protocol, you know, we're all trying to figure out, like, what are the rules? I was on a Southwest flight, 100% full, 100%, not COVID full, one, every single seat, every single seat taken. Nope, just every seat. I saw somebody who had a boarding position that I've never even seen before. I've never been on a Southwest flight this full. Boarding party or boarding group C, number 70. I was like,
70.
I don't. I didn't think. Yeah, I didn't think C got past like 55. This was 70. Literally, every single seat on the flight filled, but. How does it go? Like, L.A., it flew from Vegas. We're getting a little chop on the line, but that's all right. It flew from Vegas to LAX. LAX, last I checked, is having the biggest spike in the country. So how does Southwest lift it from 50% capacity to, I don't know, 70% capacity to 100% capacity flying into LAX? How does that work?
Because they were allowed to do
that. My guess is the exact same answer as when you're, you know, marveling about the teachers and the union, how powerful they are. The airline lobby is extremely powerful. And I think they're just like, hey, let's fill these goddamn planes. And the senators who take their money are like, all right. And they just pass a law, or governors, or whatever lawmaker it is. You know what I mean?
I guess. But meanwhile, Disneyland has still been is still shuttered after 10 months. Like, Disneyland, I feel like
they got a better lobby.
They got a little juice.
Disney World was fully booked for New Year's Eve.
Right.
So, I mean, we have a lot of hot and cold.
Yes. I wonder if California doesn't have jurisdiction over flights that leave from other places. I'm totally spitballing.
I don't know. But it was literally. Then they announced it like 3 times. Like, don't look around for a seat. Find a seat and sit in it between whomever, whatever. There, it was all random people and 100% full. All right.
So why are you burying the lead of this like drunken debauchery of a Vegas weekend that we're not hearing about?
Oh, Vegas. Went to Vegas with Matt DeAndrea. Ate indoors. Went to Mr. Chow's, went to Nobu. It was so fucking awesome. I mean,
debaucherous.
You went all the way to Vegas just to eat inside, just to go to two restaurants.
You missed the cruise that much this year?
Yes. Honestly, like,
indoors?
LA is just so goddamn shut down. Everyone wears their mask. Everyone is, you know, nobody doesn't wear a mask. The casino was full. The casinos were full. Everything was full. Everything was full. Everyone wore a mask. Seemed pretty copacetic, but I have no idea what the outcome's going to be. But
everything was full? Oh, come on.
I waited.
I know.
Hey, buddy. Mask up. And quit your grinning and drop your linen. Keep the mask on, Jade. No, drop the thong. No, don't put the thong on your... Jesus Christ, where's your Purell? All right. So that was interesting. I wouldn't have the foggiest what the answer would be from the city council, the health department, or whatever, where you go, why do 100% full flights, Southwest flights, get to fly into LAX times 50 a day? How does that work
the pun intended, it flies in the face of, you know, what we're facing
when we're spiking. But all right, enough about me. We'll see if Drew pops up. You guys, what did you guys do? Any travel? Any stuff?
Go ahead, Gina.
I was going to say, I guess I'll go first because we stayed planted. We have, you know, the little one here, and really just needed a rest. I slept for 2 days over the weekend. I think I just needed it. I just needed to be unconscious, and it felt awesome. I cooked a lot. Kaylin has a picture of some of my offerings from, and this isn't all of them. This is just some of the ones that were photographed. You got those? Oh, on Christmas Day, I just wanted to see what we had around the house, and I made this really great artichoke dip for three people, two and a half people, because one's five.
I made the pine cones.
Yeah, I made the it's keto. I made the sausage biscuits that I made for you guys last year, the keto sausage biscuits for Christmas. That was our little Christmas breakfast. Did a lot of air frying brats, which is always a winner in this house, with some sauerkraut. cookies for Santa. One's missing because, you know, the five-year-old wasn't going to give them all to Santa. But that was really fun to make those. And Brian, I put these up because I want to thank you. These are the Dolly Parton Christmas cookies that you gave
excellent.
Me. Sweet. So Santa really enjoyed those.
Nice.
And had a great time. Oh yeah, I made broccoli fritters too.
I have a food related tip. I did the Korean barbecue. Oh, I got the Korean barbecue set. You plug it in. There is like a home Korean barbecue. Oh yeah.
No shit.
Oh yeah. You
like
can
a flat grill surface.
It's like a trash can lid.
Yeah. It is. It looks, I don't know, it's kind of like a skillet meets a George Foreman grill, whatever. It's about, it's probably, you know, they probably have different sizes, probably like 20 inches around.
Little trays around everything or no?
No, it's just for cooking it. Went down to the Korean supermarket. You go to the Korean supermarket. If anyone hasn't been to a Korean supermarket, you haven't lived, or you're not going to live long. I don't know how it works, but the Korean, you got to go into a Korean, like you got to go to Koreatown and go into a Korean supermarket. It is filled. First off, the colors, the sounds,
the smells,
the fish, and you can get all this like pre-marinated like flank steak and ribeye and all this stuff, and you just get it, and then you grill up all the vegetables, you make a pot of rice, and then you just start grilling this stuff. You just start throwing it on. It smells awesome.
Treat yourself.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I did it up. I made a big meal for the kids. It was fun. It was pretty goddamn awesome. And Korean barbecue is the best. Yes.
Oh, it is the best. Except you better have a very good exhaust fan for Korean barbecue.
Yes.
Your dog will attack you.
I literally set off the smoke detector.
Yep.
Nice.
Oh, that's so great. Not that I need another appliance in this house, but that I might have to do. So Kaylin, just go through whatever. I mean, we just laid low, went to the beach on Christmas, had, of course, Santa was here because these walls are very thin.
Oh, yeah.
So Santa came and the presents were bountiful and the little one had the time of his life. And right when Santa left, we took a picture of the little tree and like, I don't know, 50 presents for one child. Santa brought him an electric guitar, so that's been tough on me.
Oh, God.
We went to the beach. Santa, I'm going to kill Santa. Went to the beach and just really kind of lazed around. New Year's Eve, it was the three of us. We had a little dance party. We went up to Mulholland and took some pictures and got some fresh air. And played with Legos, played a little Super Mario, ordered some Chinese. That was my Happy New Year picture. And we just really had a nice little time, the three of us, over the week, and it was lovely.
Brian, what'd you do?
Exact same thing. We're lucky. I'm sure Gina's experiencing this, and you probably did too. Tessa now being 4 years old, like she's just entering that sweet spot for Christmas. Like she's into Santa. Mm-hmm. She wants to wrap everything, you know what I mean, and give it to a friend. She's into it. She wants to decorate everything. Kaylin, you have a picture of the baking. We started off by going down to Christy's great grandma's old house in Balboa and doing baking, and Tessa loved it.
She still has a great grandmother?
They passed away. That's the family house now. Damn. This is the one in Newport. But with the kitchen, with the mixer, the stand that pops up. Yeah. You know what I mean? The old timey stand that like pops up from down below. I don't even know. Adam, what would you call that? You probably built one or two of those.
Yeah, there was a time when it's kind of weird. Like there was this time probably in the 60s, maybe in the 70s, certainly a little bit in the 50s, where we thought everything's going to be kind of convenient, you know, like we're going to take the blender and instead of putting the blender on top of the counter, we're going to incorporate it into the counter. We're going to have
like
this thing. Yeah. And we'll have the knob built into the counter. It's all great until someone busts the blender and no other blender will fit the thing that's in the countertops. And then you just put your blender that you buy at Sears on top of where the built-in one used to be. But there was all these like hutches and things like you pull it out and it comes up.
Articulating platform. Basically,
right, right. Everything was like convenient, but it kind of turned out that people didn't bake on a daily basis.
What?
And for the amount that people use the blender and actually did the baking and stuff, it's probably just easier just to shove the shit under the in the cabinet and pull it out when you'd use it. But there was a whole like, you know what it falls under the heading of? If you guys, and I've lived in I think two of these houses, if you ever live in a house that has the whole house vacuum system.
They have that too in that house.
It sounds awesome. It's right.
It does sound awesome.
It's like right up there with those 70s houses that have the intercom and like every bedroom, but everyone just goes, Brad, get the fuck in here. Like, use the intercom. I can hear you, asshole. Yeah. Like, it's going to be so convenient. Right, you know, dinner's ready. I've been baking.
It has the vacuum system.
Yeah, the vacuum system. So anyone who lives in a house with the vacuum system, they have a wall jack, and it has a central vac system that like leads all the way back to the garage, and there's one unit in the garage that does all the vac, you know, the motor is like in the garage. There's a hopper. Yes, Brian.
In this house, there's basically ports under all the footings in the kitchen and the bedrooms or whatever. And there, you know, you the idea is you would attach a hose to the round port, click it in, and you got yourself a vacuum. And then you go to the next room and you got yourself a vacuum that always works.
So the house is always vacuuming,
vacuum.
No. The house has these ports, and you plug it into the port, but you turn the system on. I mean, it's not just always.
Your kid's going to get sucked into them.
always vacuuming.
Fuck it.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is it sounds totally cool, but at some point you just buy yourself an upright vacuum cleaner and end up using that. Yeah, you never end up because by the time you drag around the hose and the thing and the pipe and where is it? Where do you put it? Yeah. It sounds like this is convenient. This is the future. It isn't. And, there's many, many, although I'm extreme, I kind of feel that way with dishwashers. I just feel like fucking wash the dishes, put it in the rack. But anyway, that is the modern. I kind of got away from that. I don't think modern houses are really doing that.
Modern houses, never seen it.
Well, modern houses are exactly the same now. They're just not analog stuff. You know, like it's a one-stop shop with your Nest and your lights and your this and your that.
Right.
It's not the analog junk.
And nobody back then anticipated the Roomba and the Swiffer and all this kind of battery operated, like the best.
The Dyson.
The best is the battery operated shit where you can just buzz it around and have to deal with the cord at all. Anyway, there's the hutch and the thing
so
and
funny.
The, yeah. Did,
it's called a mixer lift.
A mixer lift. Right. Yeah.
Lift.
Did,
I got a couple more. Do you have time?
Go ahead.
So those were the cookies that we made for Santa. You can skip to the next one, Kaya. That's them. You can skip to the next one because Tessa's like, I'm leaving these cookies out for Santa, and I'm laying a trap. I'm going to catch Santa. I'm like, okay. And it was a rudimentary trap made of pillows and whatever. But Christy wrote her a note from Santa saying, Tessa, nice job with the trap, but you're not the first kid to try and trap me or whatever. So there's the crumbs. There's the everything. Yeah. And then go to the next picture. The only thing, the cool thing about 4 years old, Adam, I don't know if your kids were like this. She only wanted one thing. She wanted the Disney Princess Palace. She must have seen it at a friend's house or something. That's all she wanted. And I was like, great, we can get you that. And just a couple other random, you know, underwear and shit like that. And so her day was made with those doors open, and it's a whole thing for the princesses. We overdid it on the gifts, not for her, but I don't know if you guys were the same way. Idle Hands, The Devil's Playground, et cetera, like you're home, you're in front of Amazon, you're like, might as well just buy this thing that I just saw for my mom, or that bad example for you, Adam,
yeah,
for my, you know, friend or whatever. Exactly. Go to the one, if you can, Galen, of her and Grandpa, because the cool thing about being a four-year-old at Christmas, which I realize, is she is psyched about everything. Everything is awesome. Like, my grandpa, who's like a photographer, got her a little Instax camera, you know, the kind that it's a new Polaroid camera. Look at her face. She is overjoyed at this, you know, $20, whatever it is, you know, $40. She's overjoyed. She couldn't be happier. It was the coolest thing to see.
And that is why little girls are 1,000 times better, because one of my asshole friends got this one, a fart launcher.
Which is about
3 feet. I can get it. It's in the other room. It's like it's you have to operate with two arms. It's this giant, looks like a megaphone. It has a stink cartridge, and he just goes around just blasting the house, and it's his favorite thing, and I would give anything for him to want a princess castle.
Christy's grandma house, that's one of those too.
Uncle AJ Benza dropped that one on.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, real quick, he did announce, the little one did announce over the unbeknownst to us, when we, you know, every once in a while, we'll ask him what he wants to do when he grows up. And it was policeman. Now it's, I want to build things and tell jokes on stage.
Ooh. Oh,
so he can move in with you.
Wow.
And you can have him.
He wants to be Tim Allen?
All right. Drew's not picking up.
No, I texted him. He didn't respond yet. So.
All right. Wait. We'll see if he pops up. Let me hit. All right, we have the State of the Union. We've got some trending topics. Max Pata said there's a lot of stuff out there that we didn't get a chance to get to over the break, so he would just pick out some of the stuff that was trending while we're on our break, and we could discuss, and we'll do that right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Corolla crew, Dawson, Max Zapata, honestly, Kalen, everyone down, Adam, Gina, Brian, you guys, happy New Year, happy Christmas, happy Kwanzaa. You guys have done a great job of keeping us sane throughout this crazy year, and I just had to tell you, because without you, I don't really know what I would do. I'd lose my fucking mind. So thank you guys. You guys continue to kick ass, and I just thought you should know that. Love y'all.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Thank you, caller and listener. Appreciate it as we head into year 12.
That dude hit Kwanzaa, but not Hanukkah? What an attack. Yeah.
No Ramadan.
Max Zapata got some of the things that were trending.
Yeah, so
I don't know if you guys were like me, but I got away from the news pretty far out from the news during this break. I did a 100%. Lot of like hiking and talking and not so much watching CNN. And I think we're all better for it.
Yeah.
To that point, you know, there's one more picture. Kalen, put up the zoo picture, because the only place we actually really ventured out to was the zoo, and it was turned out to be a great place to go in social distance. There weren't. Look at that. Tessa got up close with the giraffe. She's about 8 inches away from a giraffe.
Where'd you go?
We went to Christy's parents' rental property in La Quinta, because her brother recently moved to Phoenix, and it was a nice in-between where we could exchange gifts and blah, blah, blah. And while we're there, we went to the Living Desert, which is a zoo, and they have giraffes, and you can get really up close to them.
I was going to say, that ain't the LA Zoo.
L.A.
No, that's yeah. pretty cool.
L.A. Zoo can't be open, can it? I don't know.
I don't think it is.
All right, trending topics.
Yeah,
what
so
you got next
while it's cruising Twitter, of course I see a lot of your tweets mm-hmm. telling people to get out from under the bed.
Yeah.
Sarcastically calling everybody heroes. It's fun to read. And of course, people are piling on Dr. Drew and you, especially Dr. Drew, just because of his early takes on coronavirus. And now that he has it, everybody's kind of piling on. And then there was even tweets like, can you believe that we once took sex advice from Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew? And then everybody's tweeting that out and you're responding to them too, which is great. But then one person, Elaine Hunter, actually gave you credit. She said one time a man called in and said his girlfriend wouldn't give him anal. So Adam told him to go shit in a mason jar, put in the microwave for a minute, and then have sex with it. That really made me laugh. And you responded, you forgot the bagel tape to the jar.
That's yes.
And that call is why Alec Baldwin and I are friends.
That call is why Alec Baldwin and I are friends.
Yeah. Tell.
Because, as I've told you, Baldwin is a New York guy, and Loveline wasn't syndicated into New York. Or maybe it was. I can't remember. But the deal was New York was the number one city radio, you know, market. And they didn't want a day old show because they felt like we're number one.
Right.
And Loveline started 10 at night, you know, West Coast. So it would have been 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. And then we were always like, well, just air it the next day. And they're like, we don't do that. We're New York. Yes, Brian.
I was going to say, I think I can clear this up because I remember getting a lot of calls when I screen calls for Love Line from Rochester and like that area. And so my guess is the driver who will become a character in this story probably got, you know, lived out there or got the tapes from out there.
No, the driver, Baldwin's driver, lived out here. I think he was like he was in Phoenix or L.A.
Forget everything I said.
And he would tape Love Line on a cassette. And he was Baldwin's driver whenever Baldwin came out here to do a movie, which is, you know, pretty frequently. And I guess the driver spent a lot of time in the car with him and they're going to set and going locations and whatever. And he somehow got Baldwin hooked on these Loveline cassettes. And so it got to the point where I Baldwin would get in the car in the morning and say to the guy, what do you got? You got some fresh Loveline? And the guy would go, yeah, man. And he'd pop a tape in that he taped the night before or whenever, and they would just listen to Loveline on a cassette while this guy drove Baldwin around. And of course, you know, I had no concept of this at all, and it struck me the bagel and the mason jar and the heated up that all came around when I was coming back from New York many years ago, and I was in the airport. I was at JFK, and I spotted Baldwin, and there he was. I don't know, American Terminal or something. And I was like, oh, that's Alec Baldwin. He's a big movie star. And I was just like radio guy. So I didn't go up to him because I assumed he didn't know who I was. I didn't want to bother him. And then somehow it turned out we're on the same flight. Back to L.A. And then at some point, I like stood up. I was at a first class ticket. I was walking in toward the bathroom or the galley or whatever it was. And Baldwin just kind of like turned the corner like he just stepped out of the bathroom or something. And he's like, Adam Carolla, you're the best or something like that. And I was like,
oh,
what?
God, is this a fever dream really that's been going down?
You really have been drinking.
I know. And I was like, what? And he's like, what were you doing in New York? And I remember this very clearly. I said, I was doing the Howard Stern show, and he went, he should do your show. And he pointed at me. I was like, okay, I don't know if that's going to work, but I appreciate it. And then I probably said to him, I have no idea. How is this that you know so much about Loveline, being an East Coast guy and everything? And he's like, oh, my driver tapes all of them. And then he starts getting into the story with the mason jar and the anal sex and the bagel duct tape to the top of the opening of the mason jar and putting it in the microwave and all that. He's like, that's the greatest call ever. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that call. And that's basically what that's popped my hymen with the pop my cherry with the Baldwin. So we both our love was born based on this anal sex mason jar bagel joke call from I don't know how many years ago, but
the next meet.
Somebody remembers it. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. He's he famously just called in the podcast randomly whenever we tweet out for calls. So anyway, it's funny that you tweeted that out because he's been in the news lately, actually more so because of his wife, Ilaria.
So, is it Hilaria?
Well, it's spelled
Hilaria / Hillary.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there's been a viral video that came out. Kaylin, you can just watch it. And it's her doing a cooking show where she can't remember the a certain ingredient's name.
Oh, okay.
Very few ingredients. We have tomatoes. We have, cucumbers.
Cucumbers.
We have...
So just that short clip. Viewed millions of times over the break because her real name is Hillary Lynn Hayward Thomas, and she's from Boston.
Mm.
And so, but there are just various videos where she's speaking in a pretty heavy Latin accent, and her creative artist, her creative CAA bio says she was born in Mallorca, Spain. She says that her family lives in Spain and she's raised speaking both Spanish and English. So she has trouble figuring it all out. She was just really nervous in that video.
I was screaming. I saw that video and I was screaming at it. Pepino, because I always want to know where the boxer Pepino Cuevas got his nickname and what Pepino meant. And it's just short for Pepe or something like that. But right. Olga, my nanny, said Pepino means cucumber.
And, well, she does.
And I was like, that's an insane nickname for a boxer, cucumber. But I guess manatee would probably be worse. But either way, I was yelling Pepino. So yeah. does she have an accent or not?
No,
she doesn't.
She's been on Instagram Live a little bit after Christmas, kind of, or Instagram videos, just kind of posting how she said, look, I said I was from Boston the whole time. No accent, anything like that. And she says, but she does think and sometimes speak with a Spanish accent just because she's around it. I mean, her kids are named Carmen, Rafael, Romeo, Eduardo, and Leonardo. And she's had Spanish in her culture, like, growing up her entire life. So that's why she does it. But right. She
but
says that
parents aren't from Spain.
No, well, they're not. They're from Boston. Or they're from
Everything I know about her, I know from an article I read 2 days ago from friend of the show, Joel Stein. He wrote an article and not an expose, but, you know, an opinion piece, and pointed out that her parents were very wealthy and she grew up obviously in Boston in the nicer areas. But first of all, Mallorca, Spain is like Ibiza. It's a gorgeous island. It's like it's where rich people, and they had a place on Mallorca, a small island in Spain. And to have a place on Mallorca is you're doing pretty well. So I think she grew up there or spent a lot of time there.
And she never lied, because in the super cut of, you know, this compilation, she always, you know, she goes, my family is in Spain, not I'm from Spain.
Right.
Was born, my family.
And Mallorca isn't exactly Spain. You know what
I mean?
My
Bostonian parents got a beach house that they summer in.
It's the Balboa Island of the Mediterranean. So it's called by the locals.
All their houses have vacuums.
I'm jealous of everybody now.
Like saying they're from Compton, but they grew up on Pebble Island.
Well, but Alec, I mean, talk about standing by his woman in all of these compilations. He's imitating her, and he sounds like Sofia Vergara. He's like, oh, you know, my wife, she's very spicy. She's Spanish. She says, Alec, why do you do this? So,
well,
you know, they...
I think it's a good... Now, so overall, I mean, a lot of... Everyone thinks I'm making a joke, but I'm not. We're living in a time when, you know, 3 out of 5 hate crimes are a hoax, and women are just, I've never seen more women spread more shit on them to make them look darker and tanner. We have everyone's trying to pick up an accent. Like, I'm saying this is a pretty good time if in this country, in terms of race relations, if everyone is intentionally trying to pick up
a minority
status, like everyone's trying to get a little social status by picking up a little accent and darkening the skin a little and going Rachel Dolezal on our ass. Yeah. Sad that we all know that witch's name.
Indeed.
But I'd say it's a good sign. Like, I don't know. Has there ever been a civilization when a group was allegedly being held down and mistreated and abused, and many people in that group were trying to pick up that group's accent? Yes.
Quite the opposite. Since we're talking about Hollywood and Baldwin, I mean, the history of Hollywood is painfully littered with, you know, people going by Bobby Darin, when in fact their name was, you know, had God knows how many consonants and syllables.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people was at great lengths to hide their ethnicity.
Yes.
Or the other way. The first thing that came to my mind was Iron Eyes Cody.
Yeah.
Nice Italian boy.
And the great Engelbert Humperdinck.
Right.
Yeah, but you got to go one direction or the other. But yeah, I think, what's his name?
I think
name?
Tony Bennett had a really ethnic name, or like all these guys who had showbiz names.
You want to hide it.
Tony, what's his name from Some Like It Hot? Tony
Curtis.
Tony Curtis, I think, had a very ethnic name.
Yeah, all these guys did.
Yeah, and or pretending you weren't Jewish, you know, knocking off the Berg or the Steen at the end. Yeah, we did. There was a lot of that traditionally. There's a group called the Muranos, I think, back in Europe. They were like Jews who were sort of hiding that they didn't want people to know they were Jewish. And so this is a good day that people are now embracing other ethnicities. But I still haven't really answered the question. Does if I just woke her up right now and start talking to her, would she have an accent?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, she wouldn't. So, yeah, everybody's up in arms about that. And so she has then signed off on social
media. What are you
doing
in my bedroom? In very clear English.
Okay.
If you were wicked smart, you get out of here now.
let me pull my Peppino out. All right.
Yeah, but she's taking a social media cleanse because there are a lot of people upset with her.
Well, it's much ado about nothing.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you're going to pick up an affect of another nation and you get busted, maybe deserve a little bit of shade.
All right. Speaking of people who were sent off into the cornfield. Kevin Spacey.
Oh, so, Spacey. What happened to him?
Further into
did he ever get back to shore?
So, famously disappeared from Hollywood after he was publicly accused of sexual misconduct in 2017. Dawson has been suspicious for a long time, ever since they made eyes at each other at a concert.
Oh, yeah. At the bowl. At the
Santa Barbara Bowl.
Yeah. From all those feet in the beer gardens. Yeah. I remember that.
So, every year for the last 3 years, he's been uploading a single video to his YouTube channel on Christmas Eve. Usually, it's been in character of his House of Cards, and it's all his House of Cards character, and it's always kind of confusing. But this one actually had an important message. So here's a little clip.
A lot of people have reached out to me this past year and have shared their own struggles, and my ability to be there for them has really only been possible because of my own difficulties. And while it's been a privilege to offer support, I have to say, frankly, it's also been beyond my abilities, and it's bigger than me. Because, heartbreakingly, so many have talked about things having gotten so bad for them that they've contemplated taking their own lives. And that's enough for me to want to take an entirely different approach this year, to acknowledge their pain and say to anyone out there who's struggling or contemplating that idea, please, please do not take that step. Even if you don't feel it, there are people out there who understand and who can help, because you are not alone. And so I just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, a great 2021, and say to all those out there who might be suffering, it gets better. It does get better. Happy holidays, everyone.
So, suffering with what? Depression?
Depression, suicidal thoughts. And then
I got that, but just in a vacuum, not because they've been ousted from their livelihood or anything.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
He's not connecting it to feeling up a waiter
like
or anything.
He was making a connection. Like, they're in a similar position or something.
He did lightly allude to it, but for the most part, it's just been, look, everybody's stuck at home and are depressed, and I just have to say something.
I got to tell you, the good news is there's been so many people have been Me Too'd in the last, like, 19 months that people can't keep track of them. I was talking to a group of people in Vegas, and they're like, oh, we want to go down to Italy. And I was like, oh, Italy. Oh, didn't that Mario Vitale, didn't that guy? Yeah, he got Me Too'd big time. And everyone was like, huh? And it's like, I was like, wow. That guy, he got busted. He's like feeling up the sous chefs or whatever. And they're like, I didn't hear anything about it. And I realized everyone heard everything about it. They just don't have enough room in the hard drive.
Right.
You know, people at some point you just start scrubbing off one to make room for the next. And he got Me Too'd big time. I think he had to like sell all the shares in there. He went from like cookbooks and restaurants and Italy to
cottage industry
to nothing. Like I don't know. He's completely outed.
Gwyneth Paltrow was his best friend and always on his cooking show. And I don't know that they're. That's good for the image anymore.
Okay, so let me figure this out. Did he ever get like convicted of anything? Like,
I don't know. I got a text from a friend who is also a chef and alluded to or said like, yeah, his bad behavior has been known in the industry for a long time. This is second information. Take it for what it's worth. I don't know anything beyond that, but apparently it was not much of a secret.
Well, this is from last year, but it says celebrity chef Mario Batali is being charged with indecent assault and battery more than a year and a half after admitting to sexual conduct. Batali has faced civil litigation, but this time, this is the first time that he's been criminally charged for sexual misconduct.
And what's Spacey's status? There had that guy accused him. He was like a waiter at a restaurant. Then it later on kind of found out, it sort of came out that they were trying to soak him for some money and they threw the case out. But what's the
Ryan
status?
Ryan Zaner, did Anthony Rapp come out and say he did, like, a semi-known actor, you know, a guy who works, but, like, he came out and said, yeah, when I was, you know, younger, Spacey pulled some stuff on me or whatever.
Yeah, it seemed to be that, you know, if he was a target of this mom and son, that it wasn't out of nowhere. They didn't pick Kevin Spacey at random. They knew he would take the bait. But I don't understand. Did you say, Chris, that people have wished him into the cornfield for this video?
No, just in the past. And like, then, but he's been. Yeah, he's been popping up every year, at least every year for Christmas Eve. Obviously, he's not taking a bunch of major roles or anything like that. But yeah, that's kind of the big question. Where are we with Kevin Spacey? Is he okay? I mean, after leaving the message like that, you can't hate a message of that kind of nature.
No, I don't know. I don't know what to think anymore. The point is we all know way too much about too many people.
Yeah.
And it turns out that actors and Italian chefs they get a little handsy traditionally. I think those are two roles. You know what I mean? That traditionally, historically have been handsy, hands-on type roles. All right, I want to do a few more of these. We'll do the State of the Union as well. I want to hit. All right, we'll do a few more of what's trending. We got the news. We got the State of the Union. We'll do all that right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.